May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be holy and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, O Rock and Redeemer. Amen. Henry Louis Gates, Jr., the noted historian and public intellectual, likes to tell a story. He once sat down with an older gentleman to show him a document from the year 1867. The document in question was a voter registration card belonging to that gentleman's great-great-grandfather, a former slave who had just been freed in our nation's bloody Civil War. That card tells a story of determination and courage in the face of adversity, a story of dashed hopes and dreams deferred. And the man receiving these news was none other than the late John Lewis, the civil rights activist and congressman from Troy, Alabama. Between you and your great-great-grandfather, Dr. Gates told the congressman, not a single person in your family had the right to vote. Nearly 100 years passed before John walked across the Edmund Pettus Bridge, fighting for the right to vote himself. We stand on the shoulders of giants, my friends, some whose names we know and some whose names we don't. That is the broad outline of the story that we are stepping into in our Old Testament text for today. Today, we start at the beginning of the book of Exodus. But before we get to that, you have to remember the story of Joseph, the son of Jacob, Pharaoh's dream interpreter and right-hand man. In the middle of a catastrophic famine, he was the elder statesman who saw Egypt through the worst of it. The son of Jacob provided shelter to the children of Abraham too, his own kin, even though they had themselves betrayed him years before. That is how Joseph's brothers and their children and their children's children set down roots in Egypt. But time had passed and people forgot. In today's reading, we are no longer among a people grateful for Joseph's wisdom and leadership. A new king rules over Egypt, one who does not remember Joseph, one who sees Joseph's people as a threat rather than as friends and kinsmen. And in the middle of this migrant panic, in the thick of callous words and state-sanctioned violence, a couple of nurses take center stage. Their names are Shifra and Pua, midwives to the Israelites. Where Pharaoh fears the people, Shifra and Pua fear only the Lord Most High. And because of this reverent fear, because that fear is rooted in deep, deep love for God's people, they outsmart Pharaoh left and right. They are sassy and savvy. They are winsome and shrewd. They stand in the way of mass genocide, and they are remembered to this day as the women who made Moses' life possible. We stand on the shoulders of giants, my friends, some whose names we know, some whose names we don't. Now, I don't know about you, but I can think of a number of people who have made my life possible. Not all are called to be nurses and midwives, but all of us are called to give birth to faith, hope, and love in the next generation. For some of you, the person who modeled that way of life may have been a father or a mother. For others, a good parent was a privilege you were never granted. Others had to step in and fill that void. It may have been a grandmother or an uncle. It may have been a teacher, a coach, a mentor. It may have been the kind of friend whose love is stronger than blood itself. Whoever that person is for you, my friends, the truth remains, as John Donne once wrote, none of us are an island. Each of us is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. We stand on the shoulders of giants, my friends, people known, people unknown. A great cloud of witnesses make our life possible. And the question that remains for us is simply this: will we join them in this holy work? Friends, we are 72 days away from Election Day. And about 4 years ago, I made a promise at my ordination to proclaim the gospel by word and example, to love the people among whom I have the privilege to work, caring alike for young and old, strong and weak, rich and poor. Those are the very words of my ordination service. And it would be a dereliction of my duty if I didn't encourage you to exercise your right to vote, to seek the welfare of the city, of the state, and of this nation. It would be a dereliction of my duty as a priest if I didn't proclaim good news to the poor, release to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind. That is the message that Jesus preached, and the same one that he died for. Friends, the world is trying its hardest to divide us along economic lines, along racial lines, along party lines. And God is calling you to stand in the breach, to give birth to something new, to let the best of our values shape a common life where all of God's people flourish. We stand on the shoulders of giants, my friends. And it is time for us to join them in the fight. Now, it is not my job to tell you who to vote for, and you will never hear me endorse a political candidate from this pulpit. It is my job, however, to remind you of the witness of those who have gone before us and to call you to sow seeds of love and peace, of justice and hope with your words and with your actions, and with your vote. It is my job to remind you that the call to action is new every morning, and whoever is in office come Inauguration Day, the work will not be done. We will need to continue to hope. We will need to continue to love, to continue to give birth to that kingdom which is ever out of our reach. In order to follow the example of Shifra and Pua, in order to follow the example of those who hoped when there was little to hope for, in order to follow the example of those who made a way out of no way, I am going to ask you today to do three simple things. First, a great team of people is calling everyone in our parish to ensure that they have what they need to vote this election. Pick up the phone or give them a call back. Thank them for their work. Help them make sure that everyone, regardless of background or party affiliation, has what they need to exercise their right to vote confidently, securely, and safely. Second, on Tuesday, October 13th, One Wake will have its founding assembly, and at that assembly, we will gather online with 2,000 people from across the 40 institutions that make up this diverse and nonpartisan coalition. That night, we will push for commitments from every candidate for local office around affordable housing, fair wages, and public education. They will be asked to respond to a well-researched agenda that One Wake formed by listening to the concerns of our own families, friends, and neighbors. Once again, we will not sponsor any candidate for office, but every candidate will have to respond to the concerns of the people. We hope to deliver 150 people from St. Paul's to that assembly. If you want to know what local candidates think about housing, about fair wages, and public education, commit to joining us on Tuesday, October 13th. It's that simple. Just show up. Third, exercise your right to vote. Vote not just for yourself, but for those yet to come. Vote not as if you've always had the chance to do it, but as if people prayed, fought, and marched for your right to it. Vote because you love your Christian neighbor and your Muslim neighbor and your Jewish neighbor. Vote because you love your uncle who's a Democrat and your aunt who's a Republican. Vote because you refuse to take part in culture wars where everybody loses. Vote to seek the welfare of all of God's people. The choices we make have consequences, my friends. And today we must choose life over death, love over hate, public well-being over private interest, the kingdom come over the kingdom of this world. We stand on the shoulders of giants, my friends. And it is time for us to join them in the fight. Now, let me return for just a moment to the day when Henry Louis Gates Jr. told Congressman Lewis about his great-great-grandfather's legacy. When he heard the story, the congressman looked at the scrapbook on the desk in front of him, put his head down, and he wept. Once he had collected himself, he looked up and said, "I guess it's in my DNA. I guess it's in my DNA." Friends, working for the welfare of God's people is in our spiritual DNA. It's in our DNA because of Shifra and Pua. It's in the law of Moses and the proclamations of the prophets. It's in the selfless love that Jesus taught us. It's in the radical hope of that murderer turned preacher, Paul of Tarsus, from whom we get our name. Take courage, my friends. Act justly today. Love deeply today. And always, always keep the faith. Amen.